This is the Pew Talk America Radio Network.
Alert the neighbors, wake the kids, grab your wig and keys. It's hour three of a show that normally lasts about 3 hours on Tuesday night. It's Studio C. We're live right here in Phoenix, Arizona. Kat Carlson, Doug Wilkie, Al Perkins have all managed to make it to my house to do a show on a Tuesday night.
It's convenient for you.
Mostly, yes.
You have the best commute of all.
It also is a cost-saving effort for our... later in the fall, we'll do our fundraising drive, just like a PBS station.
Oh, can we do a telethon?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We can do a telethon, and we'll get Victor Borga videos to give out to people. It'll be fantastic.
Can we get people that we sort of like to, like, sit on the phone bank and pretend to answer phones?
You bet.
Why aren't they really answering phones taking money?
Oh, let's do that. Yeah. Sure. I don't care.
Why are they pretending to take money when they can really be taking money?
Because I can't imagine why.
Speaking of somebody who takes money and goes on trips, it's Al Perkins time.
Well, since we're talking about it, we'll just bring it up. One of the documentaries that I watched this week was Leaving Neverland.
Finding is different.
Finding Nemo is very different.
Yeah, Finding Neverland is a charming movie about Peter Pan. Yeah. Well, the kid doesn't do real well in either movie. In your face, up close and personal look at two men, one who testified once for Michael Jackson, one who testified twice. One is someone I've been a fan of for a long time because I love Wade Robson from his work on So You Think You Can Dance. I think he has at least two Emmys from that.
Yeah, it's great.
We actually stole one of his routines from one of the Halloween shows.
Smart.
We did the Ramalama Bang Bang. Yeah, that's
we stole that one time for a show too.
Yeah, it's a terrific thing. He's a really good dancer choreographer. And twice he and his family testified on Michael Jackson's behalf, and now had a child, so there was a life-altering event that made him kind of re-look at what had happened
to
him.
They both
did. Yeah, they both had children and kind of looked at, like, what's different about my life now? Why do I see this as something else? Although the one did not testify in the 2004-2005 trial. And if I'm not mistaken, he told his parents... His parents knew what had happened to him during that.
Yeah.
That he was a little... told them the true story. The problem with it, though, is that twice, you know, a man who was found not guilty twice, like making this documentary. Sure, it's very one sided. It's very one sided. The other person is dead. They both swore in court to one thing. So, you know what I mean. So yes, I mean, there is a lawsuit for money. But not that matters.
He explains that in the interview with Oprah after, which I watched.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that.
He goes into more detail about how that the only way to, when they file a lawsuit, he is suing because there wasn't the truth. He's like, it's not necessarily about money. That's the only way to get the attention of the estate.
And everybody has their stories about he was not invited to choreograph some show, and this is his retribution, which doesn't really make sense. None of it ever makes sense.
I believed
sense.
Every word of it.
I didn't at first, and then eventually, the first 2 hours, I really did not buy it, and then the second 2 hours, they really hit a couple things that I was
it's
like...
4 hours?
Yeah, it's two It's,
it's longer
two separate
than this
episodes.
God-awful show?
Yeah.
I think when I just started seeing all the old footage, and then the whole, can you leave your kid with me for a year, like, I'll, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said...
There's no way this is... They're making this story up.
No.
That's
and
not the
like
impression
I said, by the end of it, I was like...
Yeah.
Yes. But at the same time, I will not and will never, ever, ever let those parents off the hook.
Yeah.
You are star fuckers of the worst
kind.
Oh, right.
No doubt.
And you laid your child down in front of a bus.
Yeah.
You have no business. Right. No child has any business or
And I think they captured
reason.
How that happens really well.
But it doesn't matter.
When they,
you still...
No, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't say that did. Yeah. I'm saying they captured that really well in that... When the parents say it, that they were all being seduced.
But like Wade Robson gave up, his parents gave up the first day.
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh,
they
yeah.
laid down. There was at least the other family like traveled, tried to stay nearby, said no. Like, what?
Right.
Why?
Right.
And then they toured with him because they could both dance. And that was the thing that I made that to me made it really kind of icky, was that he was on, they both were part of a tour. Mm-hmm. Somehow the timing of it kept throwing me, because I felt like they were both talking about the same tour. So whether they were on different legs of the same tour, at that part I just got a little sketchy on the time frame. One is considerably, like, one is like 8 or 9 years older, mm-hmm. which in Michael Jackson, sex abuse is a lifetime, literally. So I was kind of confused about, it seemed like they were both happening on the same tour, but whether one was on different legs, yet they were both in L.A., but I mean, yes, this was a man who had some deep fucking troubles and had some weird relationships with children, no matter what else happened.
You're right.
There is no letting those parents off the hook.
I thought that was the heartbreaking part.
Yeah. And like the mother said, I don't know if I can ever forgive myself. Nor should you.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the minute
it just made
says
me
I want
think
to
like,
sleep over.
Like that, like, the documentary to me was so well done because they're showing that, but just think how many times and in other ways that's happening all the time in that business. Like, that's what knocked me out.
And sometimes when people talk about, like, age differences, like Pete Davidson did.
Yeah.
Or if you're talking about, like, a Romeo Juliet thing, like 17 and 21.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Let's all get over that. Yeah.
Let's all get over that. This is a 7-year-old. Yeah. This one should be with 7-year-olds.
Sleeping in the same bed with him. And that piece about the hotels and sticking them down on
the
other
floors. And further away.
Oh, it's
then
just...
No.
Oh,
either way.
God.
Nope. Sleeping in my room. Nope. 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 Yeah. There is a no to that. And I think... One of the things, and I didn't watch the Oprah thing afterwards.
It's not that great.
But one of the things that I think they thought they fought when they saw their own children was like, so at some point I'm just going to give this person over to an older man?
Right.
Like, I'm just going to take, like, in the...
For money?
And
but
that was,
starstruck and money thing, it's both, the fame and the money.
Yeah, and it's the lifestyle, like, and the going around. And the kid was the kid was legitimately working. He was in the shows every night, and there was a part where he brought kids up on stage to dance, and it's really for the part that you need all that time for is to get the how profoundly troubled these two men are.
Yeah,
like if you did snippets,
trauma,
you could write it off as, oh, they're just out for money. Like, you need that level of interviewing to get how deep-seated the trauma was. And that's what I mean. Like, at first you start off like, oh, we've heard this story before. And you testified twice under oath.
Yeah. That's it. Because when I tuned in, I thought, I think this thing is going to suck. And then after I watched, like, I didn't believe it. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. And they
go into the whole reason why they didn't testify.
Yeah. And I believe...
Which made sense to me.
And I really did think if you were going to make one of them a witness, the other one, the one that's not Wade...
Yeah,
his story. I believed him like almost from the get go.
Didn't he seem not as he's not as emotionally well adjusted as the Wade guy is? Like, he needs a lot more therapy.
Yeah, but I think that Wade's going to turn into a shooter. Like that fucked upness is like buried deep down. Yeah. And you know, I mean, just it's intense, and it does not feel like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And then when you see how many times they're photographed, and then the faxes, that's when I started to believe was the faxes to Wade when he called him little one. And those faxes were just creepy. And the second time you get a fax message with a no. Yeah. I am sorry. Your kid cannot go to church anymore.
Yeah.
So then Pete Davidson made this big thing because R. Kelly was going on over the... R. Kelly's interview with Gayle King was going on, and that was like watching a train crash for another 4 hours. That interview was like a day and a half long, too. They released over 17 parts. And people are like starting to take these things off, you know, like, oh, we can't play this anymore. I mean, these people are all deeply flawed, and it's from that Woody Allen movie, Bullets Over Broadway, was like, do you respect the man or the artist?
Right.
And yes, you want everyone to be perfect, but if you took every troubled artist off of the spectrum, like I think Bill Maher said, you'd be listening to polka music by the end of the thing.
You
like,
also wouldn't be looking at anything that Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci ever did. So
or reading Edgar Allan Poe, because he was a fucked up hot mess.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many, like, artists are disturbed, like, sorry to do it. And so Pete Davidson's whole thing is like, just admit, okay, this guy is horrible, but I like this song. Like, what this guy did was truly, truly
Which
awful.
Which is key, I thought. Yeah. He said, just admit the horribleness of the person, and then say you like it.
Because if we're not going to shut down the Catholic Church, then we just can't right. condemn. Yeah. Then the Catholic so Church well has to be boarded up shut and just eliminated from the nation and the world, and the Vatican needs to have a big caution crime scene tape around it at this point.
Right.
Because now one of the...
Did you see the story that broke today? The Cardinal?
Oh, in Australia.
Yeah, the highest so far now.
6 years in prison?
6 years in prison now.
Oh, well, that story was going on when I was there. Because, and because it was on the news the day before, our poor bus, the tour guide for the Blue Mountains, like as he was doing stuff, had to bring it up in case anybody had been watching the news, because it was like the biggest scandal.
Sure.
There was Trump visiting Vietnam, because they're very worried about nuclear war in that part of the world.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that the Archbishop of Sydney, and then he was moved to Melbourne, or vice versa, was a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, and he got moved from two of their biggest cities to run their churches, and he was a fucking serial rapist. And so Australia was just taking, again, a country that's not that religious, they're, you know, there they go.
Yeah,
there's
right.
one church out the door that they're, it's just, it's fucked up. But, and, you know, I just don't know. And like the one of the things that I watched this week was talking about, like, because the House just voted on, like, their condemning of the congresswoman made the remarks were anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, no, then you have to pass something specifically against Trump. But luckily, they worded it to just say that any kind of thing. And there's a guy that I follow on Instagram, and I will find out his real name. I've been following for years. He used to be a reporter on HuffPost. And he's really good. And he is very pro-Palestine. And he's a hottie, too.
That makes it all better.
Sure.
Ahmed Dahlan? Ahmed Dahlan?
By Southwest.
Just a question of identity.
So he is very political. He was this really hot hottie that used to be on HuffPost.
Okay.
On their HuffPost Live, the HuffPost newscast.
Oh, yeah. I remember when they were
and,
doing that.
And so now I found him on Facebook, and now I follow him on there. And so he's had a lot to say about the whole, like, Israeli-Palestinian struggle and, like, nope. Like, just, you know what I mean? You can't just be blindly pro-Israel. Like,
right.
at some point. So, I mean, it really,
yeah.
really just...
Didn't they say that on Bill... Was it Bill Maher? I can't remember now.
Bill Maher took it on, too.
Saying that... So that means you can never take a stance against Israel's, you know, murdering of people.
Right.
And if you say anything, then you're now anti-Semitic. That's not true.
That's not true.
It's just not.
Being anti-Israel doesn't make you anti-Semitic. I mean, it's such a nuanced topic that you can't just be like, well, you're just anti-Jew. No,
yeah.
Sorry. That doesn't work that way.
Nope.
So, interesting. And like, so, the other documentary I saw, the Studio 54 documentary, is on Netflix.
Mm.
The music selections are not what I would want. They're a little not of the right period. But what a fascinating look at the sharp rise and steep fall of Steve and Ian,
mm-hmm.
who I didn't realize that Ian Schrager, that all those Schrager hotels are him.
Yeah.
I never put together that he's the same guy that started the boutique hotels all over the world, and that was him and Steven after... They got out of prison. They opened up, not Limelight, Palladium. That Palladium in New York was theirs. Oh. That was their second club that was in competition with Limelight, and that they used that to make the money to open up their line of boutique hotels.
Huh.
The more
so except
you
for
know.
Yeah, except for the one, you know, dying unfortunately in 1989. Schrager went on to have a very successful life and was, I didn't realize this either, was pardoned by Obama. And the prosecutor that was in charge of his conviction wrote the appeal for his pardon and said that, there's worse people in the world. This was just a young man caught up in way too much. And they were skimming. They were really bad about telling the New York Post exactly what they were doing. And saying that the money was coming in like hand over fist, and they pissed off an employee, even though at one time during the night they would change out the cash registers, and they would go to the from what was being reported to what they were taking home.
Right.
And one of the employees went to the feds and was like,
just a little skimming, only $2.5 million.
$2.5 million. And they were only open for 36 months or 39 months.
Only $2.5 million, $1978.
Right. So they weren't even open. They were open a year and they opened in like April of 77 and they were already in trouble by the end of 78 for $2.5 million skimming. And they
didn't a brand new car cost like $4,000 in 1978? Like,
oh yeah, top of the line Cadillac would have been like $6,000.
But that tells you how much that club was raking in. And they were talking about the parties costing like $40,000 and $60,000 to put on, and the shows. And I now again,
I'm
it sounds
right
like I've been everywhere,
town.
But I've gone to see a play at Studio 54 because now it's back to being an actual theater.
Oh, cool.
And I just assumed that the balcony had been gotten rid of. No, no, no. They left, like, the stage wasn't really dismantled. You know, I think the proscenium was gone, but that's why they had those great lighting effects, was because it was the stage lighting, and Ian Schrager was, like, the mastermind of, like, making it into a show, even though he was a lawyer. And the other one, Steve, I can't think of Steve's name. Steve Rebell. He was the one that was doing all the publicity and all the front of the house stuff, but the reason it was such an event and you went to these, like, beautifully choreographed and staged parties and all the shit was going on was because he wanted to use the theater aspects of it. And then at one point they had to make the balcony all out of rubber. And like the shit that was going on in the basement. And when I went to the show, I tried to get down to the basement and I got chased out. I was not being as sneaky as I thought. And I didn't know to try to go up the balcony.
Mm.
But because when I saw it, they hadn't put the seats back in yet on the first level.
Okay.
So when I saw Cabaret, you saw it at a table. And you were sitting at tables.
Like a cabaret.
Like a cabaret.
As it was intended, right.
And when the lights on your table went on, then you were in the cabaret seeing the show. And when the lights went off, you were in the play part of it at the boarding house. So it was a really cool effect.
Yeah.
And I think there may have been some seats towards the back. Like some seats. But the balcony was done. And I thought, oh, they must have put the balcony back together. But then find out, no, it was all a part of it. It was all like a dirty whores up there and like. It's a fascinating documentary of all that went on in the era. And I had said when it started, I'm like, watch how many pictures of Liza there's going to be. Because that bitch was just a fixture. She was every single night. Like, I don't think she missed anything. And there's a part where Michael Jackson walks in to be interviewed. And he's 19 years old. The terrible skin. Like, all the stuff that he talks about. Like, why he did all the plastic surgery. I mean, it's all there. And you're like, ooh, they don't photograph him like this very much. Like, clearly not ready to be on TV.
Right.
So that, but it's fascinating. If you get a chance, it is a really good documentary with a semi-okay ending. You know, it's the same about Steve Rebell.
Yeah. Rebell.
Yeah, I mean, tragic. His mom did the books. His mom was in charge of skimming the books. Luckily, it didn't blow her and put her in jail, but she was the bookkeeper.
Oh, God.
But so she knew he was a criminal, but didn't know that he was gay. And he may.
I don't think my mom would be my criminal bookkeeper.
Enough, but she probably
turned me in.
He probably died with her not knowing he was gay, which is very sad.
Right.
Then on the Netflix, and please do not. Oh wait, we got one more documentary, Free Solo. If you did not catch it, and it's limited run, it's on Nat Geo now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, God bless you if you can make it in this documentary.
I'm
going to
no
be
way.
Scared to watch that.
I cannot.
Oh my God, that is just. There are parts of that movie where I was like, I need, like, I couldn't walk any further away from the TV in my house and still be inside. I'm like,
I'm picturing you in your house coat and slippers, like watching it from the kitchen.
Around the corner. Just the actual filmmaking, the interviews with this man who does free solo climbs. They talk
Stupid.
About all the people that have died.
I don't understand that at all.
And you will not understand it
any better after seeing this, right?
You will still find them just as odd, but breathtaking photography and a really in-depth portrait of someone who this is what he does. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a job. He lives out of a van, but he has money. He buys a house in the middle of it. He gets a girlfriend who he's like, I guess at some point there's going to be, and you can tell he means children, but he doesn't know how to say it.
Right.
He's like, eventually something's going to come into the relationship that's going to make me
stop.
Want to stop doing
want
this
to like
really
do my
it.
And he, but the way he phrases it is something like, to curtail my risks to the benefit. Like
he's still not stopping.
He does it some weird way that she's like, so it's not, I'm not enough. And you could tell he means like, when you spit a kid out, I'm probably going to want to stay alive for that. Yeah. And you're probably going to want to get a job, I'm thinking. I don't want to tell you to live your life. Do what you got to do.
Anybody who can get through life without a job, God bless them.
Yeah.
I say do it.
I'd like to figure out how to do that.
I say do it.
But if it's free climbing up El Capitan in Yosemite, maybe the job wouldn't be so bad.
Did he make it to the top?
I won't tell you. But he showed up at the Oscars. So
he didn't die, but that doesn't mean he made it to the top.
That's the hook to see if he made it.
To see if he made it.
I don't want
to
watch this. But the way that my
you'll
heart
be like
will
this.
Literally explode.
Cat will be like this, and you'll be in the corner
of the
kitchen.
It will literally explode. And I watched some of it before the Oscars.
Oh.
But I watched it on my computer screen because it was on something online.
Right.
And then I found out when I got home, I'm like, you know, this is National Geographic. I have the National Geographic channel. I'm sure they're not going to show their own documentary. And it's been on this entire time on National Geographic, which kind of annoyed me.
The beauty of your TV, which is even more scary.
Yeah.
And one thing I don't like is watching documentary makers interviewing themselves. But in this one, they have to go to the cameraman saying, like, we don't want to be a part of how this, like, death is a part of this.
Right.
Because they list all the people that have died, that almost anyone involved in this is dead.
Was dead, sure.
This sport results in death.
Yeah.
A lot. And so they were saying, we don't want to be the reason, whether it's the drones flying by, the high-definition drones. And you see how they map it out. First, he climbs it with ropes, so he knows exactly, and he's holding on by a thumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thumb and a toe, and at one point they have to make a decision. I wish I could remember the name of it. But you either have to do the karate kick, you're holding on with this thumb, your right foot is on this much just rough gravel, it's not a step, and you have to step, you have to karate kick over to put your weight over. And this is how in shape this guy is. Like, this is how fine-tuned his muscles are.
I'm getting anxiety just listening to this.
Just looking at the goddamn picture.
Oh, yeah. He had to karate kick over, shift his weight, holding on to nothing. There's no ledge there. There's just a little bit of roughness against his shoe. Shift your weight over and then leap. And he's thousands. This is not in the first part of the climb. This is like two-thirds the way up. Like a 3,000-foot face or 6,000-foot face. It's enormous. So this is the death part. This is the part where there's nothing going to catch him. He just falls to his death.
You either make it or you don't.
Right.
Some of the people that free climb also wear base jumping parachutes.
Sure.
But if you fall from too low, you die because it won't deploy, which they bring up those two people, and I had to Google them because one of them was in Arizona that happened. And you, like, the one guy he's like, I don't think you should do this. He's like, I think your reason for doing this is skewered now that there's a movie being made. He's like, I don't think your intentions are right, and I think you're going to get in trouble. And so he won't even watch. Like, everybody's watching their cameras, and he's just pacing. And they interview the filmmaker, and he's like, we just have to make our peace with the fact that he might die during the making of this movie. Like, we're making a movie about him. He wants to climb this mountain. These two things have to remain separate. We can't. He's going to climb this with or without us. And he tells them at one point,
we're either going to have a short documentary or a long documentary.
Yeah. And it's scary.
And it really does make sense. He's like, I can do this at any. He's like, I don't have to tell you I'm going. And he says it to the girlfriend, too. He's like, I don't have to tell you I'm going. He's like, I can just walk out of the van and be gone.
Going out for milk.
Yeah, because he's not wearing anything. He's got some chalk. And so they rope it first. And he leaves a couple of chalk marks of where he should grab when he does it without ropes. But there's nothing, there's no hooks, there's no nothing. It's just, it's terrifying to think. Mm-mm. And he has it memorized like a dance where he's like left hand, right hand, cross over, step third foot. And he's doing the choreography in his head of how he's going to get up that mountain. And he knows like every inch of it. It just gives you agita. The last 20 minutes of that,
nope,
agita. But I mean, and isn't it an accomplishment?
You did it with ropes. Stay up there. I mean, we're done.
Right.
But I know. No, you have to do it.
And so I'm bad. Like, I don't understand.
I don't care for that at all.
Yeah.
Like getting to the top of something. No. Sure. No. Getting to the top of it the 18th time just by your pinky. And you should see him do his exercises. Like in the van, he's got. He does pull-ups, but he doesn't do pull-ups with his hands. He does pull-ups with his fingertips, and he can pull his whole body weight up by his fingertips.
Wow.
I mean, this man is in shape.
Right. Well, you'd have to be.
But just to shift enough of the weight of your hip to hold onto a mountain by this much.
Crazy.
Oddly, I saw a meme today on Facebook that said all of the corpses atop Mount Everest were highly motivated people.
That's
so
right.
Stay lazy.
Stay lazy. That's right.
I love that. I saw that one too.
Super smart.
So my last thing is on Netflix, and I don't know if it just knew where I was going that it recommended to me, but Hannah Gadsby used to be part of a series out of Australia called Please Like Me. She comes in late in the first season and becomes a co-writer sometime during season two. There's only three seasons. The show ended 3 years ago now, and I was heartbroken when it ended. Charming show about a kid who comes out, who finds out he's gay when his girlfriend breaks up with him because he's gay. And she tells him, it's because you're gay.
And I feel like we've talked about this before.
No, I'd never heard of it till I was on the plane. Netflix.
Maybe it was just a life experience we were all sharing. Who knows?
And I think that they're just... Netflix is all big on Hannah Gadsby, and so they found like her other project, her only other project. The guy that stars in it also writes it. He writes every episode, and then eventually a couple other people come in. It's got the same director, the whole thing.
It's called Please Like Me?
Please Like Me.
It's not on Netflix?
Yes, it is.
No, I just typed it in.
Maybe it's Netflix Australia, because somebody else said they couldn't find it on here either. But I watched it on Netflix every single night.
And it might be that, because they do regional stuff like that.
Yeah, they may specialize there.
God damn it. Just went to add it to my list.
So I saw a show on Comedy Central I just started watching, because I heard it was good, and then I thought, I don't know, and then I watched, it was on, so I watched it. The on demand, it's like seven episodes in. It's called The Other Two. Have you heard of this one?
Mm-mm. I just saw a thing about that.
It's so funny. So the writers of the show were actually from SNL.
Some service was trying to feed that to me today. Mm-hmm.
I watched the first three episodes. It's hilarious. Now I'm hooked. So it's a guy and a girl. The guy's gay, and then the friend, the girl, she's not. They were writers on SNL, so they have great SNL stories. But this show, their actors are portraying them. So the it's got the funniest little like storyline. So their brother and sister. So he's gay, and they're both want to be. They're both struggling actors, so they're doing the whole, you know, they live in New York, be a waiter, the whole thing, and you know, but they have a third, and the mother is from SNL. When Anna Gasteyer, Molly Shannon is the mother. It's hysterical, and so they do all NBC, so they do the cameos of, so that they have a 13-year-old sibling. And I love that he's not the star of the show, but the premise is he's like the beginning to be the new Justin Bieber.
Oh, yes.
Hysterical.
I saw the first episode of that. Now you see it, yeah.
So funny.
So I was like, what did I just watch with Malik Shannon?
So when you watch it on the on-demand, there's a nice sweetener that you don't get if you watch it, the Comedy Central episode. Because on the on-demand ones, they have to put the commercials in them, but they only put like two or three, you know, at a time. So you get an extra 5 minutes at the end. So they do a thing with the original writers.
Right.
And why did we do this? And, you know, this scene, and why did you do that? It's just hysterical.
They
do
that. Schitt's Creek has that. They you can have the after the episode. And like,
right.
In-demand can be better. So luckily, Please Like Me is on the Hulu.
Ah.
So if you want to find it, charming, kid decides he's going to be gay. His mom is suffers from deep depression, and it ends up in a mental institution. And that's where she meets Hannah Gadsby, who becomes her roommate, and then he ends up dating somebody else from the institution. And it's just... they're just sweet. Like, he's an asshole to most people, but there is just a sweet quality to it. It's super short. The first and third season were only six episodes. So I think altogether there's barely 20-some episodes. Like, one season of a normal show. But just adorable.
There's four seasons, all six episodes.
Oh, I feel like one of... Oh, that must be why
I'm sorry. Season three has 10 episodes.
Yeah, I would say one of them has more. Because I was so sad when it ended, because I thought I had four more episodes. But they raise chickens at one point, and the one chicken turns out to be a rooster. And even though, like, if you're raising chickens and you accidentally get a rooster, everybody knows what happens. and how they deal with the rooster that's named Adele, because it's Beyonce, Adele, and I can't remember who the third person, the third chicken
Tina,
is.
Maybe.
Oh my God, it's just hysterical. And because they're atheists and they don't pray, like how they're gonna honor Adele is just the sweetest bit of television I've seen. It was just charming.
Cute.
It's a darling, but it is on Hulu. So darling, darling, okay. Darling.
I've added it to my list.
And he can cook. So clearly the kid can cook in real life. So the opening credits are to some fun song from a couple years ago. And every opening number is them kind of lip syncing to it, but not really. Like, but most of the time they're in the kitchen cooking, and the episode is made. Each episode is named after something they eat during the episode, and most of the time it's something that he's prepared. And the one with Adele is cocaine. Like, I was actually laughing and crying. But funny. Molly Shannon, I feel like, is the mother in the movie remember we talked about it, the movie with the terrible title, about the kid that wants to play and has to play on girls' volleyball to get the scholarship.
Goddamn, the volleyball movie. Again.
It's a terrible title, but but it's charming, and she's mm-hmm. the mom, and it raises some. I think we made it our thoughtful vulgarity. It was about the premise of that, about getting out of something.
Sure. I don't remember.
It sounds like something we would do.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Do you get True TV?
Uh huh.
Amy Sedaris' show is back.
Oh, is it really?
We're two episodes in, and it's even weirder, if that's possible.
There doesn't seem to be any limit.
Is that the home?
Yes.
It's clearly on, because all of a sudden my DVR is filling up with it. I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot I even had this set to record.
She's got great guests, too.
Oh, how cute. Well, I have more to watch. On Hulu, they have a one-minute clip from every episode of Please Like Me.
Oh, cute.
Oh, it's just the cutest thing. That Adele episode is so fucking funny.
I'm in. I'm watching it.
You'll love it. You'll love me for it. Daniel Sloss. Live stand-up. I don't know if I know who that is.
It sounds hard to say when you're drunk.
Daniel Sloss.
Have you wrapped up all of that?
Yep.
Okay. Tell us about your Boston trip and sing the Schitt's Creek cast.
Oh, yeah. So, in Boston, the Schitt's Creek is doing a tour of, and they just brought out couches. First, Dan and Eugene came out, talked a little bit about the premise of the show, where it came from, how they got the idea. They had the funny thing about someone asked Dan Levy, like at some point during the first season, like, why is the town so accepting? And he was like, we've seen enough movies and TV about asshole homophobic. They've had their minute.
I love that.
He's like, they don't get any say here.
Cool.
He's like, their world just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. This is just a town that has its own quirkiness. They don't have to be hateful.
Cool.
I remember I told you my running theme of I love any show or movie that doesn't make the small town people stupid, because they all do that and it's not true. And so I love that's a nice angle or twist, is that they also don't have to be homophobic either, because that's just a stereotype.
Yeah, they don't have to be that.
And they're Canadian.
Yeah.
Right. But that's beautiful that he was like, that was intentional.
Yeah, the very intentional show. Stevie was there.
I love her.
She's
getting better and better on that show.
That
is she crazy? Oh, wait, is she crazy?
She seems a little witchy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really tiny. Mm-hmm. The bulk of the time was taken up by when they brought out Catherine O'Hara,
of course,
the biggest star on the stage. Everyone had questions for her.
Mm-hmm.
There was two people in the audience. One was a man, which none of us knew until they had started a game and picked him to come down from the balcony or from the box seats. That he was that it was a man.
Okay.
The outfit was spectacular.
Oh, and then there was somebody, he was dressed as Moira?
He was dressed as Moira. And somebody else is dressed as Moira, and they stood her up. And he was like, okay, where did you find that? And she's like, I made it. And he's like, you can make this shit? He's like, these are all real clothes. He's like, we find them used, but they are actual designer clothes.
It is actual haute couture.
Oh, I watched a whole web clip about...
Which I didn't know that when he was talking about that.
Yeah, that it's all...
It's really real.
But it's used.
Yeah,
but
right. Oh, they get it on eBay.
Yeah, way too much money. They pay way too much money for the real shit. And how they developed... Alexa,
mm-hmm.
she was there. And then
Alexis. A little bit Alexis.
A little bit Alexis. And then what's... Oh, my God, that song. I was not emotionally prepared for that song.
That audition was fabulous.
I was so ready for that song.
Have we?
La, la, la.
What's... The, and Patrick.
Okay.
Noah, whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm. Patrick.
He was there. They were very nice, but it really was very Catherine O'Hara-centric. And how she developed the character and her saying no to them like 15 times that she wanted nothing to do with it. And finally she was like, well, it'll never get picked up, so I'll just do the pilot. Like, I'm free. Right.
And all of a sudden, boom.
Nobody's ever going to watch this crap.
Right. And they really did not talk at all about Alexa not being the original, that's not her, that it was really Chris Elliott's daughter, Abby Elliott, that played it and that they replaced her. They just made it sound like she was in all along. They talked about their auditions. And then they played a game. And it was the audience members against the cast members with Schitt's Creek Trivia with Dan Levy
moderating.
And it was hysterical. And one of the questions was, which two wigs can't be in the same room together? And it turns out it's like Robin and Francine. The one is named Robin. And it was so funny because as they're like yelling, and somebody in the audience actually knew it. And they were like, how the fuck? And then all of a sudden, Catherine O'Hara is just dying on stage. And they're like, what? She's like, those are named after two friends of mine I should remember. She's like, that joke is based on two friends of mine that don't like each other. She's like, that's an inside joke that I made up.
That's my joke, okay. And I can't remember. That's fantastic.
Was there anything, because I think of things like this. Clearly, we remember from SCTV when Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara were children.
Yeah.
In the late 70s when SCTV came out, they were just young kids on this Canadian show, like a Saturday Night Live, but much better.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I loved it.
Clearly, Dan Levy grew up his entire life as Aunt, it had to be like Aunt Catherine.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, you're now writing for Aunt Catherine, and she's part of this. She's playing your mother. Was there anything talked about any, like, their childhood or any of that whole era?
There was just more, because she... The questions all went to her.
Okay.
Just because that's who everybody knows. Like, so a lot of it was from like her point of view of like this person you've known since he was a kid. And like his list of jobs was, he really did work backstage at a lot of different stuff. Like, he didn't just get this job. He had a lot of backstage stuff. She had said no, and then letting the improv part of it. And then she just talked about the fact that she would not have had half the job she had if Eugene Levy hadn't called her and been like, do you want to do this project with me? Like, they need someone else. Do you want to do this project with me? And she's like, he's been keeping me employed for like 40 years. She's like, I would sit on my couch and do nothing.
Until
Eugene called her. And then she said, but this one, she said, oh, I just don't think that I want to do a series. And she felt it was like, now I can't remember what show she felt it was too close to. But she really felt it had already been done. And she was really like, you've got to add something to it.
So not been done.
No, and now I can't think of
it. It'd be interesting to know what show she thought it was too like.
Yeah, and it was something really common. And I was like, oh, I can't think of it because I didn't make that
connection. Didn't make the connection. Right.
And
so if it wasn't your idea, you don't retain it? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, it was right. To me, that was a really
long
lead.
But it was a strange comparison.
Yeah.
Not like Green Acres would be the old show that, you know, they go from New York to a farm. Like,
But Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, or Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies would be the one that I would have went to, but it wasn't what she came up with. You know, like Karen, what's her name, on Will and Grace, didn't want to play Karen Walker because Christine Baranski had just played it on Sybil. And she's like, you've got to do something different.
We've got to do something with this.
Christine Baranski's killing this already on a weekly series. I don't want to play it again. So when she came up with that, I was like, oh, that's a stretch. That's not really the same. That's not really the same theme of show at all. But I got it from her point of view. And it had more to do with like a faded star going and being nobody. That was kind of the take. It wasn't about the whole family. She didn't think of it in terms of the whole family. But then she talked
she was
about
just
like,
making it very much
and
about
they
her.
Talked about how much they just can't look at each other.
Oh, I bet.
And like the best, like working out the best and like the fact that and they all said, like, it's not just how great the song is, and that he went home and he worked on that, and he came back and he sang it for them, and Dan Levy had to pretend he wasn't falling in love with the straight guy, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, in real life, he wasn't completely moved by it. And then Eugene Levy jumped in. He's like, but credit has to go to Catherine O'Hara. She's like, when you see that scene and they cut to her visibly moved by the performance, all of a sudden, everybody's real
it's
life.
Sold, right?
It's so grounded. And like I said, everything just kept coming back to like how good she is, which I thought was a little unfair to the five of them on stage. Like, they're all doing good things, but
yeah,
it was very I figure that there must be a lot of online looking, or they just have a thesaurus next to them, because Catherine O'Hara's character comes up with so many
vocabulary,
her words.
Yeah,
when she's like, "And who's going to mount this monolithic tale?"
and they said that a lot of that is like, her.
Oh,
and she said, "No, it isn't." She said somebody is feeding her those words. She's like, I had to Google half those words, too. Mm-hmm. There was some scene where they talked about it, and she's like, I didn't know what that word meant. And they thought she had lived it, and somebody had slipped it to her. So it was a little bit of stroking, but the game part was really
I wonder where else they're going to go. I'd love if they came near.
And unfortunately, they're all over the East Coast.
Oh. Well, they're East Canadia.
That would be
the Eastern Canadian. They film somewhere. And my question was, like, where do you film between Niagara Falls and Toronto? Like, where are you actually filming? Where is this little town? But somebody stood up during the question of answer section and just killed it for everybody, because she stood up and she said she had an idea for the show. And he was like, legally, you cannot keep talking. Like, you can't keep talking, because if at some point I write something that even remotely sounds like that, you can sue me for it. So you can't bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sell me an idea without the right representation here and everybody bringing, signing off that we like it or we don't like it. He's like, you can't bring it up. And it turned into this big, long back and forth with her saying no, but it's funny, and him saying, like, you really have to sit down. And they almost escorted her out.
No.
But it killed, like, 15 minutes of the question and answer period. It was really uncomfortable. And it really kind of
spoiled. There's always one.
Yeah, it really did spoil it for a big part of it, because there should have been way more question and answer.
I remember reading in New York Times, I think if it was with Dan Levy or just about the show, that it was, they were talking about how the show has just taken off, and that being on, like recently, but that being on Pop TV was actually good. That it's, and because I didn't know this, HBO and Comedy Central turned it down. They were shooting high. They wanted HBO, and HBO said no.
Nah.
And so they were saying it's interesting, especially with over 400 platforms of like television now, that they said it was actually a good thing, because Pop was a nice soft way to like build everything. Now is loyal audiences of little amounts, but the people are just dedicated.
Right.
And they said that was really it, and it is really just that building through social media and word of mouth, and everyone talking, oh my God, have you seen Schitt's Creek? And people are now it's this thing.
That's how we got it.
And they said it might have never, if it had been yesed by HBO or something else, it might have run 1 year and then gone.
Right.
So it was just an interesting dynamic. Did anybody talk about that, or are they have more seasons in the future? Is there a timeline?
Yeah, I think they're renewed for two. I think they're renewed two now. They got renewed for two more. He did mention that they were turned down by everybody, and Eugene Levy was like, I wanted to be involved, but I didn't want to be the one to have to be the bad dad and say it sucked, or be the one that went to a network with an inferior product and be like, well, you gotta sell it to my son.
Come on, this is my kid's thing. Put it on.
Yeah, but he liked it. But he said they got turned down by enough people that no one had any pride by the time it was over.
Did they address that? Was it a collaborative between the two of them, or did Dan come to his dad and say, "Look, I got this crazy idea for this show"?
It was Dan had the idea first and brought it to Eugene, and then they finished developing it together.
Got it.
Was it Modern Family?
She compared it to that.
That might have been it.
That would make sense, Kat.
A little bit.
From what you were describing, Al.
But nobody in that series.
It's
not from rags to or from rich.
That might have not been, but she was just about a family.
Yeah, but to me, it had something to do with it was an actress.
Okay.
Like an out of work actress, and I can't remember.
That was a character.
Yeah, and it was
out of work actress.
Yeah, and I really didn't make the leap with her, and everybody kind of went, huh. I'll text Justin.
Do you watch Better Things?
Better Things. Well,
only the best things.
That's
all we do is the best.
So the very end, at the very end, they had Noah sing the best.
Aww.
And completely melted the audience.
Of course it did.
And then the one question at the end was, will there be any singing this year? And they're like, there's going to be a lot of singing, but you're not prepared for anything that's coming. which in clearly meant the Alexis.
Alexis.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm pregnant.
Better Things is on FX. It's the one with Pamela Adlon. And it used to be produced by Louis C.K., but not anymore. But thankfully, she was not a casualty of... It's a fantastic show.
I have not seen it.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's so funny, but with, like, a serious undertone. And she's she's kind of a mediocre actress in her career. But there's interesting...
Didn't she get nominated for an Emmy last year?
And there's really interesting cameos that they'll bring in. She goes on this audition for, like... There's 50 women there to, you know, audition for this piece. And the one who walks by is from Modern Family, the mother.
Julie Bowen.
Yeah, she walks by and everyone goes, oh, shit. It's Julie Bowen. But Louis C.K. produced it with Pamela Adlon. And then there was the big scandal with him. And they didn't want her to suffer from that. So they said no more. So, like, even... I don't think it even says created by him any longer. But... so maybe she's writing it now. But it's really, really good.
Okay, if you created it, I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. Yeah. You still get that credit card.
I think
he has
that credit. But they're not talking about him anymore. Yeah. But and he would cameo in it as well. But it's really good, and she's really good in it. I think people just don't know about it.
And then Nan's talking about the Priyanka Nick wedding, which I saw some.
Who
of
the
that.
Hell is that?
It's the woman from... Oh, she's an Indian woman that was on...
Some FBI show.
I don't even know who
Quantico?
These people are.
Quantico, there it is.
A Nick Jones. Oh, no. Have you seen her? She's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Oh, the one that married Nick Jonas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes.
Yeah, that's the celebrity wedding.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess they got married like 18 times in 15 different outfits, and eventually Nick Jonas was on the TV saying...
Does it help you to know that I have Nick Jonas on a PowerPoint slide for one of my classes?
Oh, good.
You know, that helps me tremendously. Thank you.
I was just of that couple, though, I care more about her than I do about him.
Man, just sneak that in.
I feel soothed and kind of comforted knowing
well,
that.
Well, it's, you know, I snuck it in a domestic violence class of all places.
And now look at him.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right, well, so well, that wraps up entertainment for Al. So we're going to move to our new segment, which I don't have I don't have a song for yet.
That's okay.
I'm going to call it Topic Roulette with Kat Carlson.
Hey!
So we're going
the
to
rant wheel.
We did it. We did it while you were gone.
We'll spin the wheel and see what title comes up, and let's go.
We always get to the end of the show, and then we sign off, and then we go, oh, we never talked about
that. Jaguars with claws is the topic that it's...
I wanted to talk about that, actually.
See, I knew that
you
did.
Or can we call it
it was in your brain.
Can we just call it stupid white women?
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes, we can.
We
next
sure
topic.
Can.
Next.
Women.
Spin that wheel.
So, a little synopsis for people that don't know. Here in Arizona, dumb shit woman decided she wanted a selfie with a jaguar at the wildlife animal park something.
Right.
And so she crossed over the human stay on this side, animal stay on that side barrier.
Yes, she did.
She crossed her dumb ass over it, and the jaguar reached out and just gave her a little tap.
Yep.
Didn't really... they do.
Wasn't that much.
No.
I've seen what jaguars can do to any sort of organism. Like...
You got off easy, lady.
That jaguar was just saying hi.
Yeah.
If you want to, you can certainly Google woman gets attacked by a jaguar.
There's dramatic video that somebody started after she was attacked of her like laying on the ground screaming about it.
I want to see her get tapped. I'm not lying to you.
I want to see the tap, but I don't care about all the screaming afterwards. Mm-hmm. I want to see the jaguar just be like,
and that's not the point.
I mean, Nancy Kerrigan was super jealous.
Yes. Why?
Why me?
Why me? Oh, poor Nancy. Yeah.
What if they made a movie about your attacker and it was better? Better than your story.
As the years go on, I like Tanya more than Nancy.
Yeah, that movie. That
but back to this.
That movie was so good. Anyway,
yes, back to the story.
Back to the jaguar. The animal park. Like, of course, people are freaking out. Oh, you got to put the animal down.
Oh,
put the animal
so
down.
Stupid.
They're not gonna.
And no. Did you see that spokeswoman?
There's no reason to.
I loved her. That's a spokeswoman you want. She was like, no, that was called human error.
Yeah.
And not one of our humans.
She was like,
human.
Fuck you.
Not one of our humans.
That animal didn't do anything wrong. The park didn't do anything wrong.
Animal did what an animal will do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I went to a wildlife park.
And a woman
did
what she shouldn't do.
I stayed out of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the woman did a TV interview in the news with her sunglasses on so that people couldn't recognize her.
Right.
Sure.
Stupid bitch.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, because we don't know who anybody
bitch.
Is with sunglasses on in Arizona.
No.
Completely mysterious.
Okay.
There are people that I don't know who they are without sunglasses.
I love that we're doing the rant wheel.
next topic. Here we go. Fuck you, Tucker.
Fuck you, Tucker.
Oh, yay!
Tucker Carlson, Fox News, Go ahead.
I'm not super familiar with this, so do you?
So he's been going off. He's Tucker Carlson on Fox News. That's probably all you need to know with all of his horrible comments. Sure. And so now the Democrats that are the, I guess, some group of progressive lefts are really out for him. So they dig up.
Well, they're an organization called Media Matters.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, Media Matters. Thank you, Kat's with a good with the Google. And so they went back and combed through all kinds of old shows, things he's guested on. I believe this might have come from 2010-11. And it was all of these misogynistic comments that he was making in interviews and quotes. He called women cunts, white whores. I mean, it's horrible.
Called them
just
stupid.
I mean, just went on and on and on.
Wow.
So surprisingly,
Charmer.
Fox News, the whole entity, was like, no, because they publicized all this. They were like, you've got to go on. You have to apologize. Like, yeah, we're Fox, but, you know, please, you can't give
you
them this
you
fodder.
You fucked up when Fox News wants
when
you
Fox
to apologize
is telling you,
for your racism.
And when Roger Ailes comes back from the dead and is like,
and they did it with Jeanine Pirro, too. In the same week, they told her to shut her mouth. So he is such a fucking asshole. And anyway, he went on the air and said, yeah, they caught me. They caught me doing something naughty. Like, and someone put it on Twitter. Naughty is when a 5-year-old writes with a crayon on a wall. What you did is misogyny, hatred, and, like, was listing everything off. And he said, if you want to know about me, I have a show on every night, so just tune in. You'll see who I am.
And then they followed up with another thing where he went
apology.
Off about gays.
Yeah.
And who's the other group? Oh, then just straight-up racism.
Yep.
Just everybody.
Just a pig.
Yeah,
that's all I got on
incidentally,
that. Unless there's more, Kat.
Incidentally, Media Matters is actually a not-for-profit organization. They're a 501c3. Yeah.
Yes,
they're a progressive research and information center dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the U.S. media.
Even better.
So this is an organization.
Yeah, they're legit.
That's
more than two.
Yeah, they are out to piss off Fox News.
So, but what they are doing is they are digging for the hypocrisy. They're digging for
I love it.
Those old sound bites.
I love them.
Yeah.
We'll do it live.
And so, they'll find that.
Exactly. No, and they have all of that, and their website is fantastic. You should go because it's full crap.
I actually know who Media Matters was. I didn't realize they were the people that exposed him. So this makes me even happier.
Yeah.
By the way, one quick question. When did you make the What's on the Wheel?
I don't know, did it today? When I got here.
I was just curious, wondered because they're so good, so I didn't know where they came from.
Yeah, no, I worked on it like the first hour of the show. Yeah,
let's keep playing. I love this game.
Here we go.
Fuck you, Tucker.
There we go. Spin the wheel.
I just like the sound effect too.
Yeah, it's good. It's animated. It's sound effect. I'll start because I've watched it before. But not like back to back in its entirety.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm halfway through season two again.
Okay.
I'm on board.
Yes.
The most vile show that has ever been on TV.
I literally have to turn it off if one of the children wakes up. I'm like, no.
That's X-rated.
Go away.
Yeah.
Go away. And now because of all of the years, like I'm listening for the little inside jokes and I'm paying attention to every cloud botherer.
Yeah.
Nickname.
And you know, so much of it is like right there, like in your face, you know, like over the top jokes. But I love this. And then there'll be something really understated that'll be ongoing, like the president of Norway or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll do some callback from 6 episodes ago. So if you really aren't paying attention, you don't understand why what they said is funny.
She's the first lady of Norway, right?
Yeah. She is the president.
The president.
I love the one when she
because she's in the first season.
She
meets her like the second episode.
The blonde
lady that she goes to meet in Helsinki, and she shows up every season.
I don't remember that.
And she just gets more and more vile. Like,
yeah.
Fantastic. And just as merciless to her.
And you know, they tried to lose one of my favorite jokes. She tries because she's so passive aggressive, the Norway lady, to act like it's a language thing. It's after I can never say her name. I know who her name is, but what her name is, but I can't say it. She comes back from going to the rehab thing, and she says, "How is the asylum?"
Oh. Is it not the right word?
And you know she knew exactly what she was doing. But there's so many precious little... and the ensemble is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but this is why I love like finding an old series and watching it from the get, like all at once.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Like this is all that I watch right now, for I mean for the most part.
Yeah. Like I said, I just got caught up, and so there was jokes that I did not see coming. And then someone asked about what was Labor Day.
Oh, yeah,
when
yeah.
that came up about what was Labor Day, I'm like, well, actually, Labor Day was how she met Gary. Oh, my God. And the giving birth and the ice chips, and it's just wrong. It's
yeah. It so is, I wanted to let you know that I'm right in the deep dive. I'm right there.
It comes back at April, like with, yeah. I think with Game of Thrones.
March 31st.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so the week prior. So you get 2 weeks of Veep, and then Game of Thrones comes back. Yeah.
And everyone's gonna die.
HBO's gonna make some money. Oh, this fall, yeah, this spring.
Put a new fan on your HBO machine because it's
all right. We're gonna spin again. See what
last
we get.
Spin.
No whammies. No whammies. Big money. Oh, money. Here we go.
And we're gonna go to here. Sign my Bible, because my fucking God, it landed on Ladies in Space, and here's the short version of it. NASA says that the first person on Mars is going to be a woman. They're about to send a woman to the moon.
I didn't hear this.
They're about to do an all-female spacewalk.
That's all I'd heard of that.
Ladies in Space.
Oh, I love it. That is that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Done.
Now if they start a wrestling thing, if their career starts to go down.
Oh, glow.
Oh.
All right.
That'll be fun, too.
All right, so talk about what you want to talk about.
I want to start signing Bibles.
Oh, my God.
Hands down. I can't remember who on any of my social media said that. It's somebody that travels. I can't remember who it is. Said that they were just going to start signing all the Bibles in hotel rooms, and I think that's amazing.
That's a good idea.
People.
Okay, first you got to find a hotel that has a Bible anymore. Because I
they
check.
Don't.
No, I check.
Oh.
Hilton
I don't
gave,
say it enough.
hilton gave them up for a long Bibles. Time because they had the. Actually, this just came up with Tim the other day in conversation. They used to have Conrad Hilton's biography in the bedside table instead of the Bible, which I thought, well, that's egotistical and delightful. Of course, Reddick's has got an Elizabeth Taylor connection at some point. She marries his son.
Well, now I'm highly disappointed because I wanted to start traveling more so that I could sign the Bibles.
But I think your Motel 6s and stuff still have Bibles.
Well, sure, because they're leaving that life.
Oh, no, you're just King James.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't know.
It was the Gideons that were providing the Bibles.
No, it is the Gideons. You're right. Yep. You're right.
That's just assumption. I don't know.
Here's your challenge, friends. Should you feel so inclined.
Nero says all the misogynists are going to say, finally, they're sending all the women to space.
Ladies in space.
Tucker Carlson would be like, getting rid of them cunts.
Well, none of them are fucking him.
Well, no.
He dresses like a clown.
Oh, I pray that they figure out. I mean, we don't want him on our team either, but all of a sudden they find a tape and figure out that he's actually he's secretly gay.
Well, he said he loved the other guy in a faggot way.
Just,
yeah,
that's one
true.
Of his quotes.
That is charming.
Was it Shepard Smith?
Yeah.
From Fox.
No, it was the host of this white supremacist show that he was on.
All right, so you want to sign Bibles? That's your thing.
That's the thing. I want everyone to sign Bibles.
Because that's what Trump did.
I
want
to show up in a hotel room and have the Bible already be signed by someone. Like,
yeah, and then add it to the list.
That's when I know that we're winning. Yeah.
When everybody has signed the Bible. Yeah. Yeah, so for people outside the country, we had terrible tornadoes in the South and
in Alabama.
The dumpster fire and his
he ran out of paper towels to throw at them.
Yeah, he didn't have paper towels, so he started signing the Bible
like a goddamn rock star. Like it's his book signing, like he wrote it.
But he wrote just as many pages of that as he did The Art of the Deal. So I guess
that's
fair.
True. I saw a meme on Facebook and it had two Bibles. One was, you know, being held by this religious person and the one by Donald Trump. And I was like, look, this one is signed by someone who raw dogged a porn star. Like, how sad for the people that get that Bible when you could have had the other Bible.
And it's a shame that raw dogging a porn star is something everybody knows what it means now. That's where we went.
Is that a shame? I feel like more information is better.
And Nero, the other thing to get right to remember is I might not have who that character is on the show. You have to look it up.
Yeah, maybe I don't need to type it. Nero, I said president because I'm not sure that's who they is on the show. It's their diplomatic person is who the woman is supposed to be.
And the one of the things that came out of this lovely the trip to Alabama and all is there are, I'm going to get the number wrong, just going to say, 179 churches in that county in Alabama, and a casino paid for all of the funerals of the victims down there. So fuck all you churches and all your tax-free bullshit.
Did it say 36?
Well, there's a couple different ones. One I saw was like 180 churches. Oh, one was 36.
Well, I think the one I saw said 36 mega churches. So they've got the money.
Oh, the big stadium.
The
churches. And a casino stepped up and paid for all of those.
Yeah, they were the ones that paid for the funerals.
Good job.
But Donald Trump wants them to get special.
Good job.
Jesus fucking Christ. And I hate
treatment.
I still hate the fact that forever we will have to, when he dies, there's going to be a state funeral and all this bullshit.
And there'll be a portrait. And
the
like,
rest of
he'll
my life,
forever.
I'm going to have to hear his fucking name.
I know.
Yeah. So, Mina...
What?
Mina Hakkinen is the current UN Special Envoy for Election Monitoring. She previously served as the head of the International Monetary Fund and the Prime Minister of Finland. So she was the prime minister.
Right. I said president. And
she,
Nero,
was, she was
Nero
married to Osmo Hakkinen, who was the handsy first husband of the prime minister. who Julia Louis-Dreyfus was always trying to dodge because he was always trying to fondle her ass. So she was the... And she speaks. I love. If you guys don't know about Wiki Pages,
Wiki
if you're
pages.
Ever
if you
awake
to know anything.
Too late at night and have a TV show, someone has done a Wiki page about the TV show.
Yeah.
So this is written as a Wiki page. Like, this is a real person. She speaks fluent English, Finnish, and Mandarin because she helps with the Chinese delegation when they come over on their secret meeting for a treaty in Camp David. And they think that. They think that Catherine's lesbian girlfriend is Julia Louis-Dreyfus because they look the same from behind. So they think that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is French kissing her daughter all the time in the snow.
No.
It's so wrong.
It's not okay. See, I'm not that far yet. I don't think I made it past the first couple of seasons the first try, so I can't wait.
All right.
I'm in the zone.
Oh, she comes in season two. In political circles, she's known as the Finnish Wolf. I mean, the fact that whoever is writing this wiki page is having this much fun with it.
The Finnish Wolf.
Fantastic.
Well, do yourself a favor. Find a wiki page, read up on it, and then watch the show. You'll find it entertaining. Maybe we'll have a wiki page about us someday. Who knows? I'm not going to do it. I'm too busy doing other shit.
Very busy.
I have Swedish death cleaning to work on.
That's right.
And other shit.
It's more like Swedish sniffle cleaning right
Whatever,
now.
Whatever. I don't need your shit. You don't know me. Anywho, thanks everybody for playing along. Joe and Nero and Mama Di and Anant and everybody else in the chat room. We're going to do our best to try to come back next week and do this all over again for your listening pleasure.
Whether you like it or not.
But as we wrap up tonight, Joe, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will...
See you next Tuesday!
Instead of mailing everyone my vacation photos, I'm saving a ton of time by posting them to my wall.